The Buddha taught a principle called dependent co-arising, which explains how things are dependent on one another to exist, to come into being, to pass away. But it's important to note two things. One, he didn't celebrate dependent co-arising, or the fact that everything is interdependent. When things are interdependent, they're unstable. Any happiness that relies on interdependent conditions is going to be unstable too. So if you want to find true happiness, you have to find something that's not dependent on other things. One. Two. He focused not on interdependence outside, our relationships with one another, our relationships with the world. He focused more on the relationship of events inside your mind, inside your experience. He said that dependent co-arising was based on a principle of causality that he called etta-paccayatā, which we translate as this-that conditionality. More literally, it would be just this conditionality, the conditionality of things that you can point to immediately in your experience. This causes that, this conditions that. From the arising of this comes the arising of that. From the cessation of this comes the cessation of that. Things you can point to immediately. Now, you can't point to things outside of your experience. The whole point is that the way you're suffering from dependent arising comes from things that you can experience immediately, right here, right now. So the problem is right here, right now, but the solution is right here, right now as well. This is why we meditate. This is why when we meditate, we're focusing on our breath, the body as you experience it from within, the mind as you experience it from within. That part of your experience that is totally yours. Nobody else can peer in to see what you are thinking. Even people can read your mind, they don't see how you read your mind from your perspective. They can't feel your breath the way you feel your breath. Yet this is where the Buddha wants you to focus. This is your area. This is where suffering is happening. This is where the cessation of suffering can happen as well. This is where you can build the path out of these things you're immediately experiencing. Like right now, you're focused on the breath. The Buddha calls that bodily fabrication. You're talking to yourself about the breath. That's verbal fabrication. What you're saying to yourself is something you directly experience. You directly experience your breath. And then there are perceptions and feelings. Feelings are feeling tones of pleasure, pain, neither pleasure nor pain. Perceptions are the labels you put on things, images or words that you use to identify things, what they are, what they mean, how important they are. All this comes together as you focus on the breath. You're talking to yourself about the breath. You have perceptions about how the breath moves in the body. You have perceptions about where you are in your body right now. Are you in your head? Are you in your chest? Are you inhabiting the whole body? This is a process that Buddha says is usually done in ignorance. Because when you look inside, that's the big factor in dependent co-arising is the ignorance. Everything else is colored by that. What we're trying to do is bring knowledge to this area. The problem is that we act in ignorance. It's not that we don't know what we're doing. We have some idea of what we're doing, but we have mistaken ideas. It's not that we're totally devoid of ideas. We've got lots of ideas, lots of instincts, lots of intuitions. And for the most part, they're wrong. This is why we have to borrow the Buddha's wisdom, what he calls appropriate attention, looking at things in terms of the Four Noble Truths. Because that's what ignorance is, ignorance of the Four Noble Truths. It's important to note that the word ignorance, avijja, doesn't mean not knowing. It's the opposite of avijja, which means knowledge. But avijja also means skill, which means that avijja means lack of skill. We have lack of skill in what we're doing here. So are the Four Noble Truths. Buddha talks about suffering. Suffering is not something we're simply on the receiving end of. We're actually doing it. Identifies it as clinging aggregates. Act of clinging to the aggregates. The aggregates are form of the body as you feel it from within, your feelings, your perceptions, your mental fabrications, and your consciousness. And we engage in these things usually without knowing what we're doing, because we focus on clinging in four ways: clinging to sensuality, our fascination with sensual thoughts about what you'd like to smell, what you'd like to see, what you'd like to hear, what you'd like to touch, what you'd like to taste. We cling to ideas about what kind of sensual pleasures are worthwhile. We cling to ideas, our views about the world. We cling to our ideas about how things should be done. It's called clinging to habits and practices. And finally, we cling to ideas about ourselves. Those kinds of clings usually you are aware of. You may disagree with the Buddhist analysis that this kind of clinging is suffering. But your ideas about the world, your ideas about yourself, tend to have a lot more reality than almost anything else. But the Buddha is saying, what are these things composed of? Just these aggregates of form, feeling, perceptions, thought constructs, consciousness. Things are very ephemeral when you look at them carefully. But we don't look at them carefully. We just go by our ideas of what we think is right and what we think is intuitive. And the Buddha is saying, this is suffering. This is especially counterintuitive when you think about the word for clinging in Pali. It means to feed, to take sustenance. The places where we feed, we think we're getting pleasure out of feeding. That's the most basic pleasure in life. And the Buddha is saying, no. Of course, this means not only physical feeding, but also mental feeding. The Buddha is saying, no, this is actually suffering. And you're doing it. You don't know what you're doing. And there's the cause of suffering, the second noble truth, which is three kinds of craving. Craving for sensuality, craving for becoming, craving for non-becoming. Becoming is when you see something you desire. You think of the world in which that desired object is found, and then you think of taking on an identity within that world to get it. Well, that is a becoming. It's a way of thinking we have that we have engaged in countless times throughout the day. And there's non-becoming. When you've got a state of becoming, you want to see it destroyed. You want to see it obliterated. But that too leads to more becoming, because you take on the identity of the destroyer. That's your new identity in that world. These are things we do all the time too. And again, we think we're getting what we want. That we desire whatever we desire, we want what. Getting what we want is going to make us happy. But it's like, no, the act of desire in itself is suffering, causing suffering. However, there are desires that can lead you away. Those are in the path. That's the fourth noble truth. First of the Buddha established, there is the fact of the third noble truth. It is possible to put an end to suffering through putting an end to the craving. And you did that by following the path, composed of virtue, concentration, and discernment. Part of concentration is right effort. When you make up your mind that if something unskillful comes up in the mind, you're going to get rid of it, and you're going to make sure it doesn't come back. And then you're going to replace it with skillful attitudes, and then try to develop them until they're really strong. That kind of desire, the Buddha said, is useful. Hold on to that. He's basically saying you have to be selective in your desires. Don't think that everything you want is going to make you happy. A lot of things you want are going to make you miserable, but there are some desires, the desires that are in line with the path, that will lead to happiness. So there's a lot in the Four Noble Truths that's counterintuitive. There was someone visiting Ajahn Mahabhu one time, an American hippie. At one point he made a comment, he said, I've just got to follow my heart. And the monk who was translating for Ajahn Mahabhu had to translate several times before Ajahn Mahabhu understood what the guy was saying. And then his response was, that cesspool? You want to follow that? Because that's basically what the Buddha is saying. We're full of defilements. or intuitive sense of what's right and wrong is based simply on our habits. And our habits come from all over the place. We have some good habits, we have some bad habits. We can't just follow our intuitions, which is why we have to borrow the Buddha's wisdom to shine some light in this area inside us, which is our own private property. Our body as we feel it from within, the mind as we feel it from within, about which we're so ignorant. It's this area where we're causing ourselves suffering. The suffering is felt here. The cause is here. Something you're doing right here. But the path to the end of suffering is something you can also do right here as well. If you're willing to take on the Buddha's instructions, borrow his wisdom. And as you develop the skills that are needed to see through your suffering, to see through your causes of suffering, the wisdom becomes your own. So this is your private property. This is your personal area. And when the cessation of suffering comes, it'll come in this area as well. This is why when the Buddha came to awakening, he didn't pull everybody else to Nirvana as well. This is something that each of us has to do for ourselves alone. We depend on the Buddha for his help. We depend on other people who found the way and taught the way to shine some light. And it's up to us to take that light and shine it in ourselves. When we do, we find that not only do we benefit, but the people around us have some benefit as well. As we can be a good example for them. So even though Theravada is often accused of being selfish, it's basically saying a point that's true. You're suffering because of your own lack of skill. Nobody else can make you skillful. You can't make everybody else skillful. Each person has to develop skills within him or herself. But it's something you can do if you're willing to listen. As the Buddha said, he opened the doors to the deathless for those who have ears. You know, you're not going to use your ears to walk through the doors. But you listen to his announcement. And it's up to you to go through the doors with your own power, with his instructions. The Buddha found that each of us has this area within ourselves where we're suffering. And he was able to get out, make an escape from this confined area we have here. You can see the structure of how everybody's inner sense of body and mind is put together, how it functions, how we have lack of skill. So that when he was able to gain awakening, he didn't just go on his own. He was able to leave behind teachings and said, look, this is how it's all put together. This is how you can take it apart. Now it's up to us to decide whether we want to follow his advice or not. But it's the best piece of advice out there.